S-A-B-O-O, San Francisco, baby, baby.
Shiba, shiba. Shiba, shiba. Shiba, shiba.
Let me in.
Shiba, shiba.
I want to be closer to you.
Shiba, shiba.
Open up your soul.
Shiba, shiba.
Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your mind.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. I know you were enjoying Graham Central Station just now. They are a San Francisco treat, local celebrities. And I know a lot of you have enjoyed Aretha Franklin throughout your lives because she is a stellar voice. And there is a tribute to Aretha Franklin that's gonna happen. And here to talk about it, I've got three guests. I'd like to welcome Sundra Manning, Howard Wiley, and Maya Ravenau Bay. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Everything is all good. Yay. It's going to be a free-for-all because I've got, you know, I'm amped up from listening to the music. So first of all, tell me, I'm going to go in order. We're going to start with Sundra. What do you do? How do you do it? Then we'll do Howard. What do you do? How do you do it? And then finally, Maya, what do you do? How do you do it? So, Sundra, take it away.
My name is Sundra Manning. I play keyboards, piano, and Hammond B3 organ. I've played for years. I grew up in the Bay Area in Oakland, playing for schools, churches, choirs, bands, all kind of stuff like that. And then I got into producing music. I produced quite a few records. Wrote a lot of songs, nominated for Grammys and different things like that. And now I'm doing a lot of solo Hammond B3 organ shows. I have a gig coming up at SF Jazz on March 21st at 7 p.m. And I'm playing this Saturday with all my guys and girls at the Paramount Theater for the Living Jazz in the Name of Love event. And I'm playing the big historic pipe organ that's built into the wall.
Wow.
I'm playing that from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then I go on the main stage and play with the rest of the band and all the singers for the remainder of the night in the house band. So come on out. It's going to be a fantastic show. And come early at 6 p.m. so you can see me rock that giant, 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 humongous organ.
Very cool. Now, Howard, take it away. Howard?
My name is Howard Wiley. Mm-hmm. I'm a saxophonist. Born and raised in the Bay Area, composer as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have the pleasure of touring, seeing the world through music, and have had the even greater pleasure of studying music with some of our local heroes, with the great Ed Kelly, with the great Bob Bray, with the great Eddie Marshall, and just really soaking up that very particular Bay Area stank that we got out here.
Very.
And I will be the band leader for our show, our tribute to Aretha Franklin on Martin Luther King Day, this Saturday, the 18th, at the Paramount Theater.
Excellent, excellent. And now, Maya, take it away.
Hello, my name is Maya Ravenau Bay. I'm a senior at Oakland School for the Arts. I'm in the literary department, so I'm focusing a lot on poetry and spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
And during the In the Name of Love musical tribute, I will be performing poetry with collaborating with Kev Choice on the piano.
Very cool. So did you all know each other before you doing this show?
I've definitely known Sundra for many moons.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the pleasure of playing music with her a lot. And also, I've known Kev Choice, our music director,
mm-hmm.
I believe since I was 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
We go back to a Young Gifted program when we were kids that we were a part of.
You mean Young, Gifted, and Black?
And African American.
I just played a bunch of Young, Gifted, and Black, so you just walked right into that one. So so for all of you, I know that Sundra was playing. I guess you said you since you were young. Maya, how long have you been writing poetry?
Mm-hmm. I've been writing poetry for as long as I can remember. Ever since I was a kid, I would write poetry and I wouldn't know it was poetry. Mm. I definitely fell off, you know, through school and middle school and, you know, COVID. But I picked it up after my mom handed me the flyer to the Oakland Youth Poet Laureate.
Oh.
And I ended up applying and I became a finalist for the 23 and 24.
That's so cool. Now, what exactly is a poet laureate for our listeners who don't know?
Yeah, so the Oakland Youth Poet Laureate is a program by the Oakland Public Library
mm-hmm.
that calls on Bay Area writers and or poets to submit their work and then go in for, you know, the final judging round to be named the Oakland Youth Poet Laureate, which is a title
mm-hmm.
of, you know, a title and a reward to those who went through the process.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Oakland Youth Poet Laureate and then the Vice Laureate, which is the second place
mm-hmm,
winner.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Very cool. So when you, you and Howard, but you were working with the same guy who was the director, did his name come up while you were practicing or rehearsing?
Say that again?
So the all of you were working with was it Kev Choice,
the music director.
Yeah. So when you were working, like, did you hear each other's names while you guys were working toward this show?
Oh, most definitely, definitely. Kevin and I play music together a lot,
mm-hmm.
and have been for years. And a lot of these things come up, and we're talking about poetry and my work with Amiri Baraka and.
Mm.
Tongo Martin, and just talking about the next generation
yeah.
of poets. So yes, definitely.
I was going to ask because I find it inspiring that there's, you know, that it's sort of like the handing off of the torch.
Yeah, yeah, that next generation thing is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's always
mm-hmm.
nice. I understand it a little bit more now when I first met my mentors, the great John Handy,
mm-hmm.
played, of course, with the amazing Charles Mingus, living legend,
wow.
San Francisco alto saxophone legend, and Jules Brassard, living legend.
Wow.
And they saw me come up as a kid,
uh-huh.
and I could see the look in their eyes, like, all right, it's that same thing. And I understand it now that I'm old. But, it's a very beautiful thing. It's a part of the process. And I love it, and I'm super excited for this stellar show that we're going to put on.
I'm super excited
Saturday.
Too. And it's called In the Name of Love. Give our listening audience an idea of what kind of music, and I know we're going to hear some poetry in a little bit, but what will we be hearing at the show? Why don't you, Sundra, why don't you start?
Well, I'll open up, and it'll be a mixture of everything. Last year, I threw some gospel in there, Hawkins, mm-hmm. James Cleveland, all kind of old school stuff for the older crowds and the younger crowds. And then I did some jazz standards. I did today's music, some crazy Beyonce songs. So mm-hmm. it'll be all mixed up. I did Motown, and it'll be stuff that's just non-traditional for that kind of instrument. So it's going to be really good, and a lot of people were laughing as I played some of the tunes because it was just like so unexpected to hear it from that kind of instrument. And then I'll play a little bit of semi-classical just so you can hear that sound. It'll be all mixed up. And then after that, we go into all the amazing Aretha Franklin songs, mm-hmm. all the classics. So it's going to be a great night. I'm sure people will be up dancing. by the beginning of the show, people are going to be up dancing because her music was just amazing. As I was listening to it, I was just like freaking out. She was such an amazing writer,
mm-hmm.
let alone the vocal. The voice is just like no words. So we have some great singers that are going to perform the music. It'll be a lot of fun.
Excellent. And
it's such a community event, which I really love about this one. You're going to see the awesome orchestra play commission arrangements by our local composers. You're going to see the SF Jazz High School All-Star Alumni Band. You're also going to see the Oaktown Jazz Workshop Band and the Oakland Interfaith Gospel Choir, the Living Jazz Children's Project. We're going to perform. We have the great Dee Dee Simon, who's just finished tearing the nation up on The Voice, our Oakland's own. We got Chickadee coming in with some great, wonderful original interpretations of Aretha Franklin classics, and Soul Lauren from Soul Development. And it's going to be an amazing, amazing show, because it's all about love, love for our area, love for what the work that Dr. King has done, and paying tribute to one of the greatest musicians that we have been blessed by to have her music and hear her music. Aretha Franklin's, one of my favorite Aretha Franklin records was Live at the Fillmore. Transitional period in her career. And also, you know, the band leader and the arranger of that was a saxophone player too. So I think it's just you know, it's good stuff. Anytime you got a saxophone player leading the band, it's going to be really good.
Excellent. So
that's right.
So Maya, you being the fresh face, like, how familiar are you with Aretha Franklin's works?
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger and I'd ride in the car with my parents, they were definitely in control of the radio. I was not allowed to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And, through our car rides, I would, kind of just subconsciously be, like, educated of, like, Aretha and, like, kind of 90s artists. And I remember when me and my mom were watching a show, This Is Us. The song Say a Little Prayer came on a cover of it, and that's kind of been our song that whenever it comes on, we both look at each other.
Aww. So if I could ask, I know you're going to be doing some poetry. Do you have a poem that you would like to read on the air right now?
Yeah, I can.
Excellent.
Let me pull it up.
Mm-hmm.
This one is called My Hair is Revolution.
Okay.
Do not walk away from this poem and assume you may dictate what my brothers and sisters should do with their revolution. We are unbraiding. My hair is sun-soaked protests against the iron that burns my history linear. My hair is the printed screams my ancestors had to stomach. My hair is the truth, reaching for the roots beneath my souls from what I used to know as cornrows and rice, bringing parts of the motherland to the soil our ancestors found love in. And yet my hair whispers that not all of us were brought by boats and bad men. My hair is professional. My hair is kinky. My hair is not a scale for what beauty is, whether I choose to wear it out or protect it. We are unbraiding. And I speak with love to the little girls that look at the girls with straight hair and blue eyes, with wishes in your eyes for change. Please walk away from this poem knowing you were harvested from cocoa seeds and moonlight poured over you, a laugh that makes the wind bow. You are a creation from the most divine hands. With no mistake in your seams, you are filled with light and lessons waiting to be learned. Your curls crown you, spiraling from your head. Your hair is revolution, and you are love. Thank you.
That was amazing.
That was wonderful.
That was amazing. Oh my gosh, I feel like the future's in good hands. Oh my. So for our listening audience, just I want to reiterate, when and where and how do they get tickets to the show?
This Saturday, January 18th at the Paramount Theater in the name of Love, Living Jazz Presents. tribute to Aretha Franklin. You can find tickets at the Paramount Theater's website, mm-hmm. as well as the Living Jazz website.
Okay.
As well as Ticketmaster.com.
Excellent. And so now I'm going to ask each of you, if people want to find out more about what you individually are doing, is there, do you have a presence online? Let's start with Maya. If people want to learn more about you or read more of your poetry, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, I am on Instagram. So my at is mravbay, M-R-A-V as in Victor, B as in boy, E-Y. I will be promoting the Living Jazz Festival and also sharing more of my works.
Okay. And now, Sundra, if people want to find out more about what you're doing, what do they do?
Sundra Manning. I'm on social media, Instagram, Facebook. There's some YouTube clips on me. I'm also doing the show at SF Jazz. There's a site. There's a page on their site with a lot of information, and or just Google the name Sundra. There's some stuff out there, and I'd love to see you all this Saturday. Please come out and support it. It's a community event, and it'll be a lot of fun and very musical, very entertaining. And I hope to see you on March 21st at SF Jazz as well. They work in partnership, SF Jazz and Living Jazz, so they're supporting each other. They're supporting all of us together. And it's a beautiful thing.
Excellent. And last but not least, Howard Wiley, if people want to know what you're doing and what saxophone you're playing that day, like, how do they go about doing that?
No problem. I have the distinct pleasure and honor of being one of SF Jazz resident artistic directors.
Okay.
I'll be ending my residency on March 8th and 9th at SF Jazz, and as well as a throwdown ridiculous party on May 24th. It's going to be like a jazz revival.
Excellent.
With all kind of fun. But you could check me out on Instagram at howard.wiley. You could also check me out on Facebook at Howard Wiley. And it's a lot of wonderful videos online. It's a great clip of my last performance at SF Jazz, where we do a very crazy mashup of Tupac's California Love with the Eagles' Hotel California.
Oh, I love mashups. I love that. Well, Sundra Manning, Howard Wiley, Maya Revenobay, I want to thank all three of you for being on the show today. I have a feeling this show is going to be fantastic. So thank you so much for being here
thank
today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to go out there, see the torch being passed, see the torch being lit, see it all. So you're going to want to go check out that show at the Paramount this Saturday.
Heartbreak for me.
No!
Aretha Franklin, I Say a Little Prayer. That is from the Queen of Soul, the Atlantic Recordings. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? Well, there is something that is happening that just warms the cockles of my heart. There are two things that I love, horror and drag, and they're being put together. I'm so excited. There is a show happening at Oasis called Dragcula. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Polyamorous. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being on the show today. So first of all, brilliant name. Love it.
thank you.
Did you have one was this the first one you landed on, or did you go through a litany before you found the perfect one?
No, I really thought about it before I started drag about 7 years ago now, mm-hmm. and this was the one that stuck.
Excellent. Excellent. And you said 7 years ago?
Yeah, 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, wow. What was it about drag that that warmed your heart?
Well, it's partly why I'm producing the show, which is that I think drag is kind of one of the best forms of theater there is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really beautiful way to take sort of stories that we all know and love and then expose the cool, interesting, fresh, queer undertones of them.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it's a chance to, like, realize visual, spectacular things using, like, found objects and things around the house and transport people to different worlds.
I do love a good repurposing of something completely random as part of a costume. Like, you know, like an egg beater or what, there's, you know, a telephone, you know, just anything random. And it's, I just love seeing what people do with stuff like that. Fast forward to now, Dragcula, tell me everything.
So this is a passion project that I've wanted to produce for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
We're producing it with three different theater groups, Poltergeist Theater Project, which I'm a part of. It's been producing original queer work in the city for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Potatoes Mashed Comedy, which is an amazing queer-led comedy troupe. And, of course, Oasis,
okay.
Which is both the venue and one of the producing partners for the show.
Uh-huh.
And with a lot of the vampire fever going on right now, with the launch of the new Nosferatu, mm-hmm. we wanted to just sort of take a look at the original Dracula story, and specifically like the very classic Bela Lugosi Universal version,
mm-hmm.
and really expose the queer undertones of that story, and make it queer and sexy and maybe a little taboo and a comedy. So it's really a chance for us to sort of dig into the horror tropes that we love and mm-hmm. have a good balance of like laughter and fierceness.
So you say this has been a passion. This is a passion project that you've been wanting to put on for years. What was the, I guess, what was the spark that lit that flame?
Well, I've never really seen a stage adaptation of Dracula that I felt represented in.
Okay.
I've seen lots of different script edits of it. And of mm-hmm. course, it's a story we return to time and time again, but I've never found anything that felt queer enough. For mm-hmm. me, I am a trans femme person, and so I really wanted to create a story that maybe didn't villainize the vampire, that maybe was a story about how these sort of like repressed people have elements of their lives that are exposed by this newcomer,
uh-huh.
and sort of gets all of us to embrace maybe the darker, shadier sides of ourselves and to celebrate those things in a communal space.
Okay, I like it. I like it. So, when you looked at the original source material, and how like did it lend itself the written word? Did the written word lend itself to satire, or were you going with? You said you were going with the Bela Lugosi version. So, what was it about?
When you watch those classic horror movies,
yeah.
they just have this element of camp.
Mm-hmm.
The drama is so huge that it can become humor.
Mm-hmm.
And really, horror and humor are basically two sides of the same coin.
Sure.
It just depends on what moment they strike you in.
Right.
So those classic horror movies are just really ripe for jokes. And especially with a drag aesthetic where you're already making everything larger than life,
right.
Those sorts of films just feel right.
Right. I saw the new Nosferatu, and I still maintain that if they just changed the music, it would be a perfect comedy.
It's true. There's a lot of humor in it.
Yeah, like you don't have to do very much, like a couple of sight gags and you're off to the races and some Benny Hill music. But so you went with the Bela Lugosi one. So when you watched that movie originally, what was one of the scenes that really struck you as sort of like over the top, like, oh, I can't wait to do this scene on stage?
Well, I really love the character Renfield. Mm-hmm. I think the original performer's performance is just so unhinged and mm-hmm. so genuinely raw.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my drag children, Tater Tot, who is a brilliant comedian, is bringing Renfield to life in our production.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing to sort of see how that can be both unsettling and funny at the same
uh-huh.
time.
Uh-huh.
It's a really fine balance they're striking. And then, of course, like, everybody wants like a windswept Dracula seduction moment.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm playing Mina in the show as well as directing and adapting. And that is like one of our big finishes.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the whole show as a living grayscale piece. So we're doing it like a black and white movie, but live on stage.
I love it.
And we're doing it with 1980s music. So it's like a very sweeping, grand, gothic feeling project,
uh-huh.
and being in the middle of it feels amazing.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So a long time ago, I had seen a stage production of Frankenstein, but done in black and white, with the black and white makeup and everything. Are you guys doing
I think I had friends in that.
Oh, okay. So so are you doing the black and white makeup thing?
We're doing black and white makeup, all of the sets, all of the costume pieces. We worked very hard to sort of create a grayscale across the world with one bright, bloody exception that will be in color.
I understand. Well, of course you want the blood in color. Oh, my gosh. So you mentioned Tater Tot. So who, and you mentioned that you're playing. So who all else is in it, and what roles do they play?
There's some other amazing local drag stars. If you've been to the Oasis, you probably know Mud the Two-Spirit, who's an amazing indigenous drag performer,
mm-hmm.
who is our Dracula. Kai Kai B. Michaels is a local community activist, cosplay drag artist, host of a bunch of shows, is playing our Van Helsing. Zanilla Meringue, I think, is one of the funniest actresses in San Francisco, and she is playing Lucy. We have an incredible ensemble cast with people like Redfa Filth and Leggy P and Kindred Spirit. My drag husband, Chester Vanderbox, is playing my fiance. So it's a really stacked cast of talented drag artists, but also drag artists who know how to professionally act and who mm-hmm. are really bringing some comedy chops to play.
I love that. So you mentioned that you're using some 80s music. Are you talking about sort of like the goth emo tunes? Who will we be
hearing? Pretty goth and rock. There's
uh-huh.
a little bit of The Cure. There's some Bonnie Tyler in there. Of course, we all take bows to Bela Lugosi is dead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's like a very fun, sweeping feel.
So when does the show open?
We open this week, actually, on Thursday, the 16th.
Oh, wow. That's...
And we run Thursdays through Saturdays this month up until February 1st.
So this is tech week for you.
It is. We're just about to go on our first big day of tech tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome. So when you mentioned, what was it, Mashed Potato? Who were the two? There was Poltergeist
Tater
and Mashed Potato. No. There was Poltergeist.
Oh, Potatoes Mashed Comedy.
Potatoes
that's
Mashed.
The comedy group.
Mm-hmm. All right. So how did you get these groups involved, and how did you work together to make this script, or did you write it by yourself? How did it all come together?
Well, I adapted the script myself, but we've all been sort of adding jokes and continually shaping it in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Potatoes Mashed Comedy is a group that I have adored for a long time that's been self-producing in the city for longer than I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now, with the way theater is, the more the merrier, the more groups you can get involved, the easier a project is. And that's part of what I love about performing arts, is that it's a community activity. So I really was careful about selecting people that I knew I wanted to work with,
mm-hmm.
That I knew would be fun to work with, and that were bringing their own unique flavor to the story.
Excellent. I'm because it's the first time that I'm hearing of Potatoes Mashed and of Poltergeist. And it's like, oh, two more theater companies that I can like turn to. So when Potatoes Mashed, well, Poltergeist, do they do they specialize in horror-themed stuff, or what's their deal?
I work with Poltergeist, and we specialize in horror, but also in re-envisioning classic pieces as queer stories.
Okay.
We've done about 5 years now of world premiere adaptations of classic stories, starting with Miss Julie, which is a really well-known classic play, and bringing a twist to them that re-envisions them for modern audiences with a new focus on feminism, on intersectionality, on gender play, and trying to figure out ways that we can sort of look at pieces from our history that maybe feel troubling or toxic and not erase those things, really use the performance to address them instead.
Okay. So what things have you done in the past?
With the Julie cycle, we made it a piece about sort of feminist awakening and about trying to escape cycles of abuse. I've done a one-person drag solo show called Gaslit that was inspired by the play Gaslight that inspired the term. And that was a really cool sort of drag fantasia solo comedy play about trying to find yourself in a toxic environment. We've produced a bunch of readings. This is our first real production with Oasis.
Okay.
So it's exciting to see things in like this large drag scale and to be able to have drag lip sync musical numbers involved. It feels like elevating our work to another degree.
Awesome. So for our listening audience, when, where, what times for the show, and where can they get tickets?
Absolutely. So Dragcula is playing at SF Oasis in the SoMa. Mm-hmm. You can get tickets at sfoasis.com. It starts this Thursday the 16th. Runs Thursday through Saturday this month through February 1st. And the shows are all at 7 p.m., but the bar is open earlier if you want to come in your best Victorian or 1930s garb and have some amazing cocktails before the show. You can also actually grab a candy necklace at the show. Mm. That might mean that you get some up-close and personal interaction with the vampires during their lip sync.
Ah.
So come on down to the Oasis this month and join us for some spooky comedy.
And if people want to find out more about the future stuff that you're doing, how would they go about doing that?
Yeah, they can follow me directly on Instagram at Polly Amber Ross. That's Polly with two L's. Mm-hmm. Amber like alert, Ross like dress for less. you can find me there. You can also look up Poltergeist Theater Project. We announce things as we have them moving.
All right. Well, Polly Amber Ross, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can't wait for you to see it.
Yay. All right, people of Earth, this is your opportunity to check out Dragcula at Oasis in black and white. And it's all there. You had me at Dragcula. So let's listen to a little bit of Amityville Horror theme. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO, San Francisco.
Why'd you run away? Don't you like my style? Why don't you come and play? I guarantee a great big smile. I come from the imagination, and I'm here strictly by your invocation. So what do you say? Why don't we dance a while? I'm the hottest swing, I'm the twisted child. When you gotta sing, when you gotta
let it out. You call me and I come running. I turn the music on, I bring the fun in. Now we're partying, that's what it's all about. 'Cause I know what you feel, girl. I know just what you feel, girl. All these melodies, they go on too long. Then that energy starts to come on way too strong. All those hearts lay open, that must sting. Plus some customers just died combusting. That's the penalty when life is but a song. You brought me down and doomed this town. So when we blow this scene back, we will go to my kingdom below, and you will be my queen. 'Cause I know what you feel, girl.
What you feel with me wouldn't be very real.
I'll make it real, girl.
I'm 15, so this queen thing's legal.
I can bring whole cities to ruin and still have time to get a soft shoe in.
Well, that's great, but I'm late and I'd hate to delay her.
Something's cooking, I'm at the griddle. I'm bought never his very first fiddle.
Sugar, if I miss to see my sister's the slayer.
Now we're partying, that's what it's all about.
Listening to Ben E. King and Supernatural Thang. That, my friends, is from Soul Hits of the 70s. Didn't it blow your mind? We also heard Hint and Battle, What You Feel from Buffy the Vampire Slayer musical. And we started the entire set off with the Amityville Horror theme. Yeah, that was in keeping with Dragcula. You know, there's so many fun things to do in and around the city. There's so many amazing and talented musicians. And there's so many people who are observing the works of Martin Luther King and the struggle for civil rights. There's a show coming up put on at SF Jazz called Lift Every Voice. And one of the groups that's going to be there is the Dee Dee Spencer Trio, here to talk about it, the fabulous Dee Dee Spencer. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. So, very good.
So, Dee Dee, how long have you been a musician?
Oh, gosh. I started playing music when I was very, very young. I grew up around music. I guess I started on piano when I was like 6 or 7.
Oh.
And yeah, I took piano lessons, you know, the usual thing, and I didn't give it up, you know.
Oh, I was going to ask you. I just had my first piano lesson last Monday. So
oh, good for you.
Yeah. So when you were a little kid and you took piano, did you just really take to it, or did they just, it was just like, you're taking piano lessons?
No, I found that it was a way for me to really express myself. So I really connected with the piano at a very, very young age. And there are a lot of musicians in my family, actually, but I'm the only one who decided to pursue it, you know, for a living, you know. And the rest of my family, they're still pretty musical. But, it connected. It resonated with me at a very, very young age. And when you just know that, you just can't. You can't walk away from it.
So did your family see it coming, or was it a surprise? Like, this is what you're doing. You know how parents are.
Right, right. Well, we always performed. I mean, my people sang together in my house. We always had music going. We were all active in the church,
mm-hmm.
and music in the church. And we sang around the house. We had piano at the house. And we were singing around the house all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I just decided to go into it, you know, professionally, they went, oh, okay, you got to do that, you know. And, you know, everybody was just very, very supportive.
Oh, yay.
And, you know, that kind of thing. I never had any pushback from anyone.
Do you remember the first gig that you did where you felt like a professional singer, a professional musician? Because everybody has that, like, this is real.
Maybe I'm waiting for that to happen. No, I'm just kidding. It's hard because, well, someone had me play for them, I think, in one of the clubs, at the bars and clubs, and my dad took me.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I was underage, but I was so fascinated because I got to see, wow, there's my teacher, there's the principal, there are all these people, you know what I mean? And they're sitting at a bar, and it was like, wow, I'm so grown up. Look at them. I know this person. He goes to the church, you know what I mean? So I would see people I knew from the community at the bar.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, I want to hang out with them. They look like they're having so much fun. And back then, they always had live music at the bar, so there would be an organ trio, and my dad would like, okay, now you got to be quiet. Don't let anybody know that I took you here, but, you know, you can listen to this music. And I was like, no, I want to do this.
I'm just imagining, like, because for you, it was like, hey, there's my teacher, there's my principal. But for them, they're right at the local bar thinking, you know, they're just on the, you know, just laying low. And then suddenly one of their students shows up at the bar and they're like,
right,
oh, so Lord.
No, they were so happy to see me there. But at the same time, they knew they were busted. And, you know, and God, back then there was what was called community. So
mm-hmm.
it was like, they saw I was there, my uncle, you know, so they were like, oh, okay, she's okay.
Okay.
You know, they knew I wasn't going to talk about it to all my school friends. Because my school friends probably knew they were there too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I was probably the last one to know, as usual.
I don't know. When you're a kid like that, you just think that the grown-ups sort of go home and just stay there. And it's always
right.
a shock that first time you realize that they're people.
Right. Oh, exactly. Exactly. They're dressed differently. I think that was the first thing I noticed. Wow, they're wearing different clothing.
Mm-hmm. And they're laughing, and you said there's some
and
of them.
And they're laughing, and they're talking, and they're having fun. I'm
yeah.
like, they never had this much fun when I was in school, you know.
So, when did you form the Dee Dee Spencer Trio?
Oh gosh, I've had trios for a long time. This particular trio I call is my dream trio.
Mm-hmm.
With Jay and Jewel, you know, with me and. I call this my dream trio because, you know, they just connect and we just have so much fun and they just like are amazing musicians and very intuitive. So they just like, it's just an amazing, and it's almost like it's not work when I play with them.
So you mentioned their first names, but who are these people? Give me their whole names.
Jewel,
and their
Jewel McMillan is our bassist, and she's an amazing, incredible bass player. And I'm so happy to be working with her. And it's so interesting because she was a student at SF State, and I had no idea that she was even there. She wasn't in the School of Music at all, which, you know, also gives you insight to the fact that, you know, there are people out there playing music who are all over the campus.
Mm.
And not necessarily, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You think of people being musicians as being sort of in one little mode. But then you realize, gosh, people just play music who do everything, you know. And it was, I think she's maybe a finance major or something like that, which is not a bad thing. But no, I'm just really glad to work with her. And my other musician is Jay, mm-hmm. and she's amazing. She's one of the graduates from the conservatory, and she's an amazing musician. So she's also equally as talented. So it's just great to work with Jay and Jewel.
Okay. And you said, how long have you been together in this formation?
This trio is about maybe 2-3 years old. 2-3 years, oh,
okay.
I would say.
Okay. And yeah. And then what kind of music do you guys enjoy doing? And what will you be doing?
And Hernandez is Jay's last name.
Oh, okay.
I think I mentioned her last name, Jay Hernandez.
Okay.
We enjoy doing music that reflects the African-American diaspora. We do everything, jazz, blues, you know, everything. R&B, funk, you know, we're going to do a couple hip-hop songs, gospel. I mean, we just do it all. And they just intuitively just know the music. So it's just an inspiration to work with them.
All right. Well, can you talk a little bit about the Lift Every Voice concert series that's happening at SF Jazz?
Yeah, this came about as a grant that I applied for 3 years ago. And it was through the city of San Francisco and the San Francisco Arts Commission. Mm-hmm. And it was also the Dream Keepers Initiative that Mayor London Breed came up with. So I was able to get this grant to bring together singers from around the community, mm-hmm. who are just so incredibly talented and people that you would not ordinarily see performing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an opportunity to bring people together and celebrate Black music. And it's just really exceeded my expectations. We have more people than I could even imagine participating. And it's everything ranging from spirituals, gospel, to Beyonce. I mean, we're doing the whole history of Black music in 3 days, three nights.
Is it?
So it's amazing.
So when you're saying the whole history of Black, does that mean that, will we be able to hear the full range each night, or is it like there's some on this night, some on this night, some on this night?
Some on this night, some on this night, some on that night.
Okay.
And the great thing about the singers is that they reflect the diversity of the entire Bay Area community in San Francisco. So it's just amazing. And people are going to be shocked when they hear people sing Black music who are not Black.
You know, I read this thing that said in James Brown, Say It Loud, the people who are saying I'm Black and I'm Proud are just some white kids he grabbed off the street.
Uh-huh. Because
he didn't have anyone in the studio to do it.
Right? Oh, no, I believe it. No, I'm blown away. We're rehearsing today. And I know I'm going to be blown away when everybody comes in all super inspired and sings mm-hmm. today. So the rehearsal process was fun. The audition process was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And the performances this weekend are going to be off the chain.
So what of the songs that you're planning to do at the show, which one mm-hmm. would you say you and your band have the most fun playing?
Oh, my gosh. I think Beyonce's Freedom that she did with Kendrick Lamar was like, I had no idea it would be this. When you're playing it, it's transformative.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a transformative experience playing Beyonce's Freedom.
That's awesome. Yeah. And how did you guys land on that one? Because there's so many.
It's entirely up to the singers. I let the singers pick their own repertoire.
Oh, okay.
I said, yeah, pick two songs, and this is one of the songs that one of the singers chose.
Okay.
So I had nothing to do with the song selection.
Okay.
I tried to stay out of that.
Oh, so you didn't even get to pick a song?
No, I want people to sing what inspires them.
Okay.
And we're the accompanists.
Okay.
For them, to lend the inspiration to the audience.
Well, that's very
cool.
World.
Yeah, you let people pick what they wanna use as their vehicle. I think.
So when they pick their vehicle, like, do you guys help with the instrumentation and the arrangement, or do you hew pretty closely to the original?
It's up to them. I mean, some of them want to do their own arrangements. In fact, we have a couple who are doing Alicia Keys songs. They want to do their own arrangements of them. So we help to facilitate that. After we find the key, that's the most important thing, and work out the actual arrangement. Because we're going to be a trio with piano, bass, drums, and we come up with our own way of expressing, you know, their vision for the songs. And some of them want to do things that are kind of adventurous, and some of them want to do pretty much the songs the way they feel them. So it's interpretation, you know. So there's always an improvisation when it comes to this kind of music.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it.
That is the beauty of it. So for our listening audience, can you say when, what time, and how do they get tickets?
Oh, that's a toughie. Unfortunately, all three shows are sold out.
Wow. That's great. No, that's actually great. I love that, because now it builds like people are like, oh, maybe next year or maybe the next thing.
Yeah. Well, that's what I tell people. I say, you know what, we're going to try and do this one more time and, you know, make it an ongoing experience. And next time we'll get a bigger venue. That's all. We just need a larger venue. But right now, we're Friday through Sunday, January 17 through 19, and we're at SF Jazz.
And where's that?
201 Franklin Street, in the city.
Okay.
And we're in the Joe Henderson Lab.
Okay. And if people want to find out more about what Dee Dee Spencer and the Dee Dee Spencer Trio are doing, how would they go about doing that?
You can visit my website, dspencer.com.
Okay.
I try to update it every so often. I updated it last week, so I think it might be kind of current.
Well, that's better than what most people do, so you're already ahead of the game.
But yeah, I'm pretty active and pretty busy around the Bay Area. So
Excellent. Hopefully
I'll meet a lot of people as a result of this.
Well, Dee Dee Spencer, congratulations on selling out your shows, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored.
Oh, I'm honored to have you. Thank you.
All righty.
Okay, people of Earth, you can't necessarily see the show. I don't know. Maybe camp out and see if, like, someone doesn't show up and maybe you can get a ticket. I don't know. But there's so much going on in the city. There's so many shows that are happening. There's comedy. There's musicals. There's jazz. There's blues. There's everything. So if your mind is not being touched, it's a choice that you are making. And the choice that I'm making is to leave you with Oscar Brown Jr. This is 40 Acres and a Mule. I'm turning the mic over to Mr. Ford. Until next week, my friends. Ta-ta and toodly-doo.
You know, I always enjoy playing Washington, D.C. Makes me feel not only a among friends, but close to the seat of government. Provides me with an opportunity to deliver, for example, this open letter pressed into my hands by a man on my street. If I am not mistaken, I once read, back during that short spell I spent in school, where every slave set free was supposed to get for slaving 40 acres.